What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 401, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing, with me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. I just realized we both had red shirts on, so.
Why are you copying me? Mine's like a burgundy.
Yeah, yours is, yeah, like a, you know, almost maroon. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just realized that I forgot to
make another podcast.
I forgot to put out our Instagram posts and everything like that.
Whoops. Yeah. Facebook? Did you do a Facebook one?
I literally did it when the countdown was going. When the countdown was going on, I didn't have enough time to write anything. I didn't even tag you in it. I always forget. Every week we do the podcast, I'm like, I have everything ready to go. And then I end up forgetting to do one of the things. And that was the thing that I forgot. So
you need to make a checklist and you can just go down.
It's in my head. But as I told you before we got on here, today's just been one of those days where things
have been off.
Yeah, are all over the place. But welcome, everybody, to the live stream. Good to see old man in the chat. If you're in the live chat, definitely say what's up or ask questions or, you know, this is what this podcast is all about. We will try our best to answer the questions. We're not always – some things we don't know anything about.
Well, we can probably answer all of them, whether the answer is right or not. That's a whole other story.
But typically, if there's something that I don't know, Ryan knows it. And if Ryan doesn't know it, I know it. And then if we both don't know it, maybe somebody in the live chat knows it. So we usually have some good people in there to answer all the questions. So, another week. We have three really cool reviews this week that we're going to be talking about. Lots of other stuff going on in the tech world as well. We do have our full show notes page here that's going to have everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So if you want more information, you can just go ahead and click through. Or if you are listening later and you're like, oh, they were talking about this, I want to learn more. All the articles and all the reviews and everything that we're going to be talking about this week is linked. So we're going to go ahead and start with a case. And a case that I saw, I would say like a couple months ago, right after CES, I saw it. Or no, right before CES, I saw it. And I was like, wow. This is everything that I've wanted in a case. And it was like, it was kind of surprising because, you know, we know Asus for graphics cards and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But for cases, I mean, they have some cases, but that's not like where their big push is. And their ProArt line has been expanding over the past couple of years. You know, it started with the displays. So displays that had really accurate colors for digital creators. And then, you know, we eventually saw the motherboards. And then with the motherboards, we then saw the graphics cards. We talked about those last week. Now they have cases and AIOs and an AIO that goes in this case perfectly too. But we had the chance to take a look at their first case, the first ProArt case, which is the PA602. This is just like the ProArt series, specifically designed for creators, for somebody who's doing digital creation, somebody who's doing high intensity workloads on GPUs, somebody who doesn't want the gaming look, doesn't care about the aquarium style cases, doesn't care about RGB. There's no RGB on this case. That's what this case is all about. And it's designed again with like proper airflow, a lot of features that you would kind of want in a case, a big hefty case. That's what this is. So very big case, as you can see. Let's go to the photos here. This case is just, it's huge. It's a very, very large case. It's considered a full tower. I would consider it a full tower here, which is just, it's kind of what you want if you're a digital creator too. You want a big case that one, not only for graphics cards, but for storage as well. And we will go into that. But all black design here, as you can see, that has been the theme of ProArt anyways, black with the gold. You can see the gold on the ProArt logo, and there's actually ProArt logo on the side of the case as well. And the front here has a grill, but it's spaced out. So you do get proper airflow into the case. And it's really hard to see in this picture, it's really hard to photograph, but the front of the case actually says ProArt in the like in the kind of grill area. It's really cool. You have to see it from a certain angle. But it is hard to see, but it's really cool. And behind those, that front grill, which is extremely easy to take off, there's just buttons on the, like on the inside of the top of the case here. You just press those in, it comes off. We have a built-in filter, which is nice. But behind there, we have two 200 millimeter fans. These are massive, massive big fans, as you can see, and they're thicker than the normal fans. So they're 28 millimeters thick. I mean, these are really, really thick fans, big fans. And that's only what this case supports in the front. This is what they want you to use for the front of the case. They want these really big and thick fans. So really good to see that there. And those are connected to a fan controller, which we'll show you. But the really cool thing, you know, when you think about maybe like a CAD system, or a system that's maybe sitting in a workshop, that system kind of just sits there, right? It sits there. It's not really, people don't really use it all that often. So what's the one thing, if you leave your computer just sitting there for a long period of time, those dust filters fill up, right?
Yeah, especially if it's on all the time. Yeah, they just, yeah. And your environment, like if it's sitting down below or something, yeah, they fill up quick.
So Asus has a IR filter built into this infrared filter that lets you know when the front filter needs to be cleaned. So you can kind of see it right here. Like a little
sensor there.
Yeah, it has a little sensor. And then on the side of the case, I initially thought this was a power button. I was like, oh, they put the power button on the side. There's a little LED right here. This LED will turn on when you need to change the filter, and then this button resets it. So, you know, you clean the filter, you hit that button, it resets it so it knows.
That's cool.
So just a little convenience thing, especially for those type of situations, which I definitely like to see. Here's a close-up of those fans again. These are like heavy-duty, big fans that are going to push a lot of air into the system. Of course, you do have a filter that comes out from the bottom of the case as well, that goes across the entire bottom of the case, so they have you covered there. Now, as I said, we do have a sort of a fan controller. So the fans can be set to auto, which is PWM, or they can be set to max, and that's 100%, which is really good. If you're doing maybe like an encode or something that's really CPU intensive or GPU intensive and CPU intensive, you can just hit that during the encode and then turn it off. It is a lot easier, I would say, than just like trying to mess with software or whatever it may be. Like if you just want the best performance, you just hit the max there. Of course, we have a combination headphone and microphone jack, two USB 2.0 ports that are type A, two USB 3.0 ports that are type A, and a type C. But the cool thing about the type C that I've not seen on any other case is that this is USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. So you'll be able to use the fastest USB Type-C devices, you know, getting up to 2,000 megabytes a second out of that center nice. Type-C connection, which, again, this is made for digital creators. What's one thing a digital creator is going to do? They're creating content that they need to take and put on a portable drive to give to a client or to show a client or to even transfer between systems. You have that right there as well. Small reset button. And you have a power button over here, but you have a lock button as well. So maybe...
I haven't seen a lock on a case forever.
it locks the power button.
Oh, okay.
So you can't... So
bump it or...
Yeah. So it locks it. So again, you're doing this maybe 30-hour encode of some 3D scene or whatever. It would really suck that somebody accidentally hit the power button and messed up your whole thing. So you have that there. So again, just like these features that are really nice to see, that you don't find in a whole lot of other cases, you have that there. The rest of the top of the case is ventilated, of course. As you can see, there's a little tab here that you lift up at the back. And when you open this up, there's room up top for a 420 millimeter radiator. And Asus, of course, makes a ProArt 420 millimeter AIO that's really kind of made for this case. Again, this case really isn't made for like in like crazy water cooling systems. It's really made for like an AIO at the top for your CPU, especially if you're running like 14th gen parts, you know. So you have that up there. Now the cool thing, if you notice, there's this little hole back here. What's this? Why is there a little hole back here? That's because all of the new motherboards have your Wi-Fi, little Wi-Fi like the external little Wi-Fi antenna. What they have done is they put a hole here so you can route it up here, and it actually will sit back here in the back of the case. which is pretty nice as well. So it's not like in the way or anything like that. So you have that there. It's pretty cool. Now, this cooling bracket can be removed. The connections are kind of under. That's one of the things that it wasn't apparent that this top part of the case could be removed, but it can. So really, like I said, lots of room for cooling. Now, the side of the case is a tempered glass panel. And one thing that's cool about it is that the glass panel has some ventilation right here on the side. So this is actually ventilated. And it has the ProArt logo, as I said. Another thing that's really cool is you can see these grooves up here. You can kind of see that button for the front that releases the front grill. These are handles, and they're heavy duty. Like, you can pick the whole entire case up from these handles, which is really nice. Again, if you're loading this up with, you know, large graphics cards and things like that, and hard drives, you know, this is going to be a heavy case, so you can fully pick the case up with these, which is really, really nice to see. Again, you can see that grill right there that has the ventilation, which is awesome. And then at the bottom, the case is lifted up off the ground enough as well to get proper airflow and everything from the bottom of the case, which is really cool. Opposite side panel, just normal steel panel. And again, you can see that, you know, the little indent there for you to lift up the case. And then at the back of the case, pretty standard, you have a 140 millimeter fan at the back that does come included as well. So three fans included with this case. You can kind of see that back there. All of your expansion slots, when we get inside, I'll show you this, but this is a way to connect your graphics card tool free, basically. And then at the bottom, you will notice these little.
I was just about to ask.
Now, these are a set of little wheels. They work pretty well on like a wood floor. On the carpet in here, they didn't work that well. One thing that's really nice about this case as well is that, you know, you can go on Amazon and buy like casters. You don't have to modify the bottom of this case. It will support casters out of the box, which is pretty cool too. So if you wanted to put the entire case on like big casters, you can do that with this case. But they do have these wheels. They're only on the back of the case. And again, it allows you to angle the case and kind of bring it with you. Makes it easier to move around too.
If you're putting this in somewhere, like sometimes you're like, you put the case down and you try and like lift it up, but you've got to get it back further, like under a desk. This would be easy to like just set down in front of it, kind of lift the front and wheel it back. Yeah.
Yep.
This is perfect. Awesome.
Yeah. So it works really well. But like I said, not the best on carpet, but again, on any type of hard floor, it would work fine. So really cool to see that there as well. Now, getting inside the case, super, super easy. Both side panels have these buttons that are on the back of the case. You just simply press them in, and the panel unlocks and unhinges a little bit and just sits there just like you see right here. So, again, this is a very big panel. It's a heavy panel. And the early days of big side panels, I've scratched so many desks because they used to just fall off. You know, you unscrew it and it kind of just would fall off. These don't fall off. You don't have to worry. You can basically pick it up with one hand, which also makes it really easy. So you don't put a lot of like fingerprints on the panel either. Now once inside, we have a pretty, I would say, kind of industrial sort of design here, full power supply cover. And we have these look like cable covers right here, but these are actually air deflectors. So all that air that's coming in here, they've strategically put these deflectors, which also are cable covers, in the case to deflect air in the direction that they want. Same thing with the one at the bottom. You know, a lot of times what happens is we have these power supply covers and then that bottom fan kind of sits halfway in between. And like, you want that air to go up on, you know, up this, you can see there's like a little ramp here, it goes up here. And it's going to cool your expansion cards. That's kind of what you want in a system like this. So they have that there, which is really, really nice to see. Here's a closer look, and you can kind of see all of that right there. This is a GPU support bracket, which I'll show you in our installation. But that comes stock with the case as well, especially considering a lot of people are going to be using large graphics cards with this. You can see it right there. And then you can see that power supply cover. It has our cutouts, obviously, for cable routing. And again, this front little air duct here that directs air up into your expansion cards. So really good to see that. You can see our rear IO covers here, and then that toolless system for installing graphics cards, which again, I'll show you in our installation. and that rear fan. So no RGB fans, no RGB lighting on this thing. It's a very purist case, which I like. Backside. So backside, we have a ton of storage here. So one thing that immediately stood out to me on this was the cable routing here. So they have all the cables from the front of the case routed. This is like a little routing bracket that it's plastic, but it routes all the cables, keeps them out of the way. And then you have this big routing channel, and these are actually channels. So they're the plastic channels that are kind of like screwed onto the back of the case. Mm-hmm. And then within those channels are the big Velcro straps that say ProArt. Looks awesome. At the top, we do have a fan controller. We'll go. Yes, the fan controller here. So again, the fan controller supports six fans. Of course, this case comes with three, so you can add three more fans. So this is going to be perfect if you want to connect fans for an AIO, or if you wanted to add fans to the top of the case. Obviously, you're covered with just connecting them right into the fan controller. And again, this fan controller goes into your motherboard with PWM, so you're good to go there, which is really nice. Here's a close-up of those Velcro straps, as you can see. And then we have storage. So along the front of the case, we have four SSD brackets. They're metal. They are removable. Very easy to use those. We have three hard drive trays in the bottom of the case. These support either 3.5-inch or 2.5-inch right there. And again, these are also metal. And then on the back of the case, we'll see these. So there's two brackets, and they're kind of deceptive because the larger bracket, this larger bracket here actually supports a 2.5-inch hard drive, where the smaller bracket supports a 3.5-inch hard drive.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's how they go. So in total, 9 hard drives out of the box, 4 of which can be 3.5-inch drives. So for people who need that cold storage, they need a lot of storage, you know, getting a couple 8 or 10 terabyte drives in here, you can definitely do that as well. And of course, your power supply is going to be at the bottom here. So lots of storage, lots of features for somebody who is a digital creator. I know we put out a short video on this, and people are complaining, oh, what does that mean? What does that mean that this case is for a digital creator? Storage, fast connectivity, lots of cooling, and lots of room inside. I think that kind of what it you know, kind of covers those things. Our installation went great. I didn't really run into any problems. Now, it is kind of weird that I had to remove the entire, like, the, you know, normally in a case, your power supply is going to go in from the back here or from the back side back here, right? But you actually have to remove the entire thing here to get in where your power supply goes. Now, it does make routing your cables much easier because you kind of just put it down in and move them over. Yeah. But you did have to remove 4 screws to get in here. That was the only kind of caveat. But everything else, again, like this is a big case, and I love big cases because they're so easy to work in because you have so much room. Didn't really run into any issues. You can see my like SSD, I put it in one of the trays, no problem. I did want to test, like, what's the largest graphics card I have. We use a really small graphics card in our test builds for testing, but I did put in the ROG Strix 4080 Super, and that's the biggest card. It fits in here, no problem, as you can see.
Plenty of
the locking bracket back here worked on it, no problem. And I used the bracket. So the bracket just pulls out just like that and will support your graphics card, no problem. So
it's not like angle so that you can get it to different.
Yeah, so it's so it's on an angle, and you can move it up and down. Mm. So it will fit a card, you know. Most cards, it shouldn't have, like, obviously this, our super short card, it's not going to go over there. That's a card we use for testing. So, so just like a good overall build. I mean, super clean out of the box, you know what I mean? And I could have even made it cleaner. I could have taken out all of these hard drive cages, can be removed as well if you just like want to put all your cables down in there, but really clean. Those Velcro straps just do a great job keeping everything nice and clean. There's our build. I mean,
looks pretty good.
Yeah, super, super clean in there, as you can see. And performance-wise, really, really good performance-wise as well. I mean, if you look at our temperature, CPU temperature, idle and load, the best. And again, we tested both auto fans and then the max fans. The max fans are very loud, but they provide insane performance, as you can see at the top of our charts here, pretty much at the top of our charts here. GPU temperature, very much like at the towards the top of our charts. Same thing here with GPU temperatures. Noise levels at the auto level is really good. 200 millimeter fans running at a normal slower speed aren't that loud, but you put them on max and that's the loudest case
out. Well, they're moving a ton of air too.
Yeah.
You can see, like, you get performance, cooling performance, you're just going to have to deal with some noise.
Yeah. So again, I don't think any sane person is running the fans at max all of the time. But again, if you're doing an encode or something like that, you turn that on, it's going to give you great performance, which is awesome. So I really like this case. It addresses, again, those things that we just talked about for a digital creator. It addresses, you know, proper airflow. It addresses storage, you know, 9 hard drives out of the box. It addresses being able to support the largest graphics cards out there, you know, up to extended ATX motherboards, the handles at the top, the wheels on the bottom, USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 Type-C ports, just so much stuff. An ability to install a 420 millimeter radiator, because a lot of digital creators, like, they're not going like the crazy super high-end desktop, but maybe they are doing a 14900K. And like, for if you're doing really CPU intensive stuff, I mean, a 360 is good, but you kind of want a 420. And again, Asus pretty much makes the ecosystem for this case, right? You can get the ProArt card, you can get the ProArt motherboard, you can get the ProArt AIO now. And you know, they just don't make the memory. Although who had the really good memory? Was it T-Force had the black and gold memory that would match? So I really like this case. It's not the cheapest case out there. $268 currently on Amazon. So not cheap, but you're getting a lot with this case. And it's one of those cases that I see, and I think Ryan and I are both in the same camp as far as like we've been around the PC building world for a while. And a lot, even the current cases that are coming out, they're not necessarily properly designed for cooling. They're not properly designed for a lot of other things. This case is like specifically properly designed for a lot of things. And I think if you're that end user, you don't want the aquarium case. You don't care about RGB. You know, you want performance and you want something that's like big and rugged and like easy to move around and all that. This is definitely going to be the case for you. So the only other thing that I did see in this case that I wish I would have had is, you know, we do have room for 4 3.5 inch hard drives.
Sure.
But there's no rubber dampening, vibration dampening on any of the trays. And they don't even they don't include anything for vibration dampening. And again, if you're running 4 hard drives, it's going to vibrate.
It's possible. Yeah, you can get some.
Yeah. So I didn't see that. But beyond that, it's a great case. And I'm really glad that I had the chance to take a look at it, because it's one of those things. It's like for me, that's like my ideal case is that, even though I have the O11 dynamic here.
I was gonna say, yeah.
You know,
but I think this case would look like, obviously it is very functional, but I think it would look so good in like a really like minimalist design studio, you know, which is
I didn't know until JJ from Asus emailed me yesterday. Mm-hmm. They are gonna come out with a wood version of the case. Much like
wood slats on the front.
He just said wood version wood. Of the case. I don't know what that means. Right. Both in a light and dark version. So I assume that means wood slats on the front. I don't know beyond that what that's going to look like. Either Q2 or Q3, they'll have one. So
cool.
Again, this case might be too kind of industrial looking for like people who want that modern look, something like the Fractal North. So maybe wait to see what they do in Q2 and Q3, which I'm pretty excited for as well, to see kind of how they design that as well. Maybe it's just the front grille that's changing.
Right.
And maybe that's just something you could, if you buy the case now, you can get later. We don't know, but really cool to see this ProArt stuff kind of bring us back to our purest, you know, that's how I feel about it. I feel like it's a purist case. So it's a really cool case. So definitely check out the review. We will have a full length video in a couple weeks. We have some other stuff that has to launch on YouTube before that, but we'll have a full video on this as well. So yeah, real quick in the chat, we have PC philanthropy. It's so hard to say that word for some reason. One of our good guys over on Twitter or X. If you don't follow him, you should. He has some really cool stuff all the time on there. Let's move on. And Ryan, you took a look at talking about digital creation. This is this is a product that I think a lot of digital creators might actually use. And you initially reviewed the higher end version of this, right? And I remember you were talking about how you didn't like it, and then it was like 2 weeks later and you're like, I like it, I'm using it.
yeah definitely. So this is the Tourbox Lite, and as Bob mentioned, I took a look at the Tourbox Neo, which is a very similar product from the same company. The Lite is, as you might expect, a slimmed down version of the Tourbox. So not necessarily that it's like worse or anything, it just has a few less input options and a couple other differences compared to the Neo, and the I think the other version they have is the Elite. So yeah, it, like Bob said, it's a content creation tool, and as you can see in this, you know, main picture here, we've got multiple input options on the light here. We've got a scroll wheel, you've got multiple buttons, a dial. So let's just kind of take a closer look at it. Now, it does offer support for both PC and Mac. So, you know, across both of those platforms, you're going to be able to utilize this with no problems. And there's also a companion software called Tourbox Console that goes along with this that helps you customize each one of these inputs depending on the application you're using it with. So I just kind of call out a couple features here for it, right? We've got those multi-dimensional input actions. So whether it's a, you know, clicking, twisting, scrolling, whatever the case may be, it's not just a pad with buttons, right? It they're like intuitive, or at least you can map them to intuitive things. So, you know, you can set the dial to scroll along a timeline when you're video editing, right? It's just like that's a natural physical motion for a or function even like in the application, or zooming in with
zooming in and zooming out. I can see that like on a timeline, just like it's much more intuitive than I use the middle scroll wheel on my mouse to do that. So
yeah,
it would be very much the same.
Yeah, and you can even set the software up to, like, if you slowly roll, you know, or scroll, it will go like at a slower pace, but if you move it faster, right, it's going to skip along more. That's kind of the nice thing about this application as well. It's got that tactile touch, right? You've got the feeling that you and shapes that you can kind of get here. And yeah, it's just really like intuitive once you've used it for a little while. Like Bob said earlier, with the first one that I had, I didn't like it at first. I was like, oh, I can't use this thing. But once I realized, like, no, don't make it work for me. I'm going to work for it, right? I'm going to work with it, and it makes it so much easier. Comes with a really nice braided cable, Type-C to Type-C. You've got this 90-degree angled cable for the unit itself, and then you get a little C to A adapter on the other end that comes with the unit itself. But really, that's all you're getting. You're getting this and the cable and a little instruction manual. So let's go ahead and just take a look at some of those input options. They kind of... Tourbox breaks it down into three types of inputs. The first set is rotating. So we have, like I mentioned, a scroll wheel. This one's a little different than the Neo. This one is just a hard plastic wheel. The Neo has a rubberized texture, kind of like you would expect on a mouse wheel, right? They're usually a rubber with a little bit of a texture. This one's just textured hard plastic. You still get, you know, the scrolling feel. You can feel those knobs, and it clicks down as well. You just don't have that, I guess.
Do you have it with you so people can see like the size?
Yeah, I've got both of them here.
Yeah, like just to get, because like the pictures that might not give people like the idea of the actual size.
Make me.
Yeah, yeah. It's not.
Yeah, no, it's. I don't know if I've got.
Gotta get light. That Sony dog there.
Well, it's that light too. So
yeah,
this
right, is... like, can you lift? Can you just keep the light there, but like lift up your mouse? Let's see the difference between that and the mouse.
Oh yeah, hang on a sec.
Just so people,
because I plugged it in to charge.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. So that's the size. So it's not this massive thing that's sitting on your desk. It's pretty small,
right? And like thickness wise, right?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back here to that view. All right. So we've got that scroll wheel there, and then there's the dial in the middle, right? So you've got this knob that turns as well and has a clicking option as well, so that you can select things if you want. Then we've got this just long button at the top, and that's part of the prime, what they call the Prime 4. And actually, it's, I don't know why in the software, this kind of bugged me a little bit, that the software didn't adjust a little bit more with this one, because on the Neo, you had what they were calling the Prime 4. Well, in this one, there's only three. You get this top wide bar here, and then you have the tall and short buttons as well. So you've only got three, but they still call it the Prime 4 in the software. So it's kind of just, I don't know. I wish the software...
Probably not communication between like the hardware team and the software team.
Correct. Yeah. And then you have what they call their kit buttons. So you have this tour box, little like crescent shaped button here. And then you've got these two round buttons with the little dimples in them. And these, the nice thing I liked about these two buttons, you had these two buttons on the previous version of the Neo, and they were smaller, and they didn't have the little dimples. They were just concave. I like the larger sized buttons on the light compared to the Neo. So I think that's something they probably got some feedback from their user base from. And yeah, I think that was a really good improvement. The other thing is the body of this, and you can kind of see it in this picture. It's just a hard plastic body. The previous, the Neo has that soft touch plastic feel to it. So again, that's kind of the two differences in the, I don't want to say quality, because I feel like it's still as good of a quality product
in the design and more of a
just design. And you know, this one's obviously cheaper at the, you know, with less input options, but as you can see here, it's just got very rounded edges and sides, very comfortable to use. You don't have any, you know, square edges or corners that you're going to be resting your hand on for a long period of time and, you know, being uncomfortable or anything like that. A couple rubber feet at the bottom to keep it in place. Set up super easy. You know, it's just USB. Obviously by now you're just going to plug this thing in, let Windows or Mac OS do its thing, and then you get the Tourbox console, and it's kind of broken up into three sections. You've got this upper left corner here for your presets, right? You've got just like, obviously Photoshop's going to be in there, Premiere's in there, CapCut, DaVinci Resolve. I've made a custom one for another piece of video editing software that I use. Then in the bottom left, you've got a design of the unit itself with callouts to each type of button. And then on the main window, you have, again, broken down into those sections of rotating, Prime 4, and kit. And they're color-coded as well. So when you like select one of the sections, it lights up the same color for the control. So it's just a nice organization. You know what you're adjusting.
When you reviewed the initial one, I was really surprised with the software, because I think
it was good. Yeah.
There are a lot of devices like these, and where they get held back is the software.
Yep. Yeah, and you can, you know, all of these options here are adjustable, right? You want to, I mentioned like on the knob here, you can step forward many frames, or you can step back many frames depending on, you know, how fast you spin it or what you do with it. Excuse me. So yeah, you can adjust any of these buttons that are on there to essentially whatever you want, right? Whether that's a macro, a key combination, a function within whatever software it is that you have selected, all sorts of items, and you can fully customize those. So very intuitive software to use as well. It's like, it's not confusing at all.
That's very another good thing too, is like, you get these things and sometimes the digital creators and people, they're not necessarily the most like tech savvy. Mm-hmm. So having software that's really easy to use is like a good thing too.
Yeah. And so I had set up the Tourbox, the Neo, and the software with a certain layout. Well, losing like there was a D-pad on the Neo, right? That was right below that scroll or the knob that you lose on the light. And so I had to adjust, you know, I was using it for, you know, in and out points and making cuts and things like that. So I had to adjust to that with the light, with less functions, but making those adjustments in the software was really easy. And then it's just, you know, getting used to using those new controls. It's really great. Another cool feature that they have is this little HUD that can float on top of your application. So when you're using an application and have that profile selected, it shows you what all of your controls are. And you can even customize and select which controls you want to show up in this window and menu. So like if you want it to be the only the ones that you don't use very often so that you can reference them, they can be there. And the ones that you just remember and know, you can leave them off of the menu.
I really like that.
Yep. So very, very handy. And you can, you know, set it on top of the window. It's separate from the application, so you can put it wherever you want on the screen, which is nice. Really nice. So yeah, really adds efficiency to your workflow.
I was about to say, do you think that it speeds up your process?
Yes, I do. I really do. Because I use, like, I put one hand on it and one hand on my mouse, and there's only when I'm like typing something do I need to go back to the keyboard to like work with it again, right?
Okay.
Otherwise, yeah, I'm just utilizing this thing, which is pretty awesome. You know, it can really add some efficiency. And if you're using this like in your day job on a day-to-day basis, you could probably really save some time in your workflow. So I did give it a 9 out of 10. The cons that I had was like, yeah, you know, and this was a con in the previous one. Not that it's really a con, but it takes time to become proficient in it. I'm not gonna say that I'm super proficient yet, you know, even though I've been using the Neo for months. I don't use it every day, so I'm still not like an expert at it by any means. And then it's just has a little slightly less quality feel to it than the Neo did, right?
You don't that's how they're getting the lower price.
Yeah, you're getting a lower price, yeah. Right? So this retails for $94.99. So you know, I think that's a pretty good,
and I think that's option, a good entry especially point
when you throw that software in with it as well.
Yeah, I think it's a really good entry point too. Sure. And like you said, maybe with a Neo, maybe that's just too many buttons for some people, right? With their work, with their style of workflow too. Yep. So yeah, that's really cool. I really, for me, like the time savings and the convenience is a lot better. And I really like these because they're type C. So even if you, the one that it's small enough to take with you too, which is nice. Yep. So if you are traveling or something, you like, you know, you get used to editing a certain way and then you go and travel and you're like, wait, I need my.
Well, how do I do this again?
Yeah. Yeah. If you've ever seen those big DaVinci editing consoles, like those are huge.
Expensive.
Yeah. So this thing's really small. You can take it with you. And say you forget that Type C, you can go get a Type C anywhere. It's not a proprietary connector or anything like that either. So you're good to go there. I really like that about these as well.
And, you know, I focused on like video editing for my, you know, my use cases, but like just think of like with Photoshop and or some of the other, you know, like drawing softwares, you can like
Illustrator,
change brush sizes or zoom in on your canvas or, you know, switch between
any like brushes any of the 3D like modeling software.
Exactly.
Photo editing, video editing, audio editing. I mean, there's so many things that could be used with,
and they have an online library of presets as well. So if you don't want to set it or you're looking for a piece of software, you can go out, search
for it. Or even just as like a good starting point.
Yep.
You know, which is nice. That's really cool. Awesome.
Yeah. So check it out.
Very, very cool. Well, that brings us to our last review. And I took a look at another case, but I have to say that this is a very, and we there's a video on this if you want to check it on our YouTube as well, but I feel like this is a great in-between of a pre-built and a PC case. It kind of sits in between, and I'll tell you why. So this is the Cooler Master, the Cooler Master TD500 Max, and Cooler Master's Max series has been around for maybe a year and a half. And it started with their NR200P Max and then the Ncore 100 Max, both which we reviewed. Those are smaller form factor mini ITX cases that came with your AIO, and they came with a power supply. Now, this TD500 Max is a normal size system. So it's going to fit ATX motherboards and things like that. But it's the same thing. It's going to come with an AIO. And it's going to come with your power supply. So all you really have to do is more or less just slot in your motherboard, slot in your graphics card, and maybe install some storage, and you're good to go. So it takes a lot of the headaches out of a normal PC build. And it takes, again, just like with the smaller ones, it takes a lot of guesswork out of things too, because, you know, there are cases that say they support a 360 millimeter AIO, but you go to put it in there, and then just because the AIO is a little bit different, or maybe the pump is built into the, you know, the radiator, like some things don't fit. You don't know. This, again, makes it so you don't have to do all the guesswork. So the TD500 Max, and again, like I said, we have the video if you want to check it out. It is on YouTube. Mid-tower case, it's based on their TD500 Mesh V2, which we also reviewed, and we also have a video on if you want to check that out as well. The only real difference in the case as far as exterior is that now we have a gray colorway. The Mesh V2 is available in white and black. This gray is exclusive to the TD500 Max. And then on the side panel, it's just going to say TD500 Max. Those are the two main changes on the exterior of the case here. Then on the front, we have three pre-installed 120 millimeter ARGB fans. Now, these are mounted to the radiator as part of their ML360 Atmos, which Ryan actually reviewed, which is a 360 millimeter AIO. So that's mounted to the front of the case. Now, the cool thing that they've done, and I'm really glad they didn't just slap like the basic cooler on there. What they've done is the fans are actually different from the ones that come with the AIO. These are their Mobius 120P fans, much higher airflow, much higher air pressure, which is going to be really good for bringing air into the system, of course, going across that radiator to give you cooling. So that's one of the changes that they've gone ahead and made there. And you can kind of see these fans actually have an outer frame that spins with the blades. It's all connected. We've seen that on graphics cards and everything like that. Again, really, really great airflow there. And then we'll just go to the inside of the case. And on the inside, you can see we have our parts of our AIO just kind of sitting here when you first get it. And the really cool thing about this case is, like I said, it comes with an 850 watt power supply. And what they've done is they've pre-routed a lot of your power supply connections. So you can see like two 8-pin EPS connectors up here, like the actual connectors, they're embedded in the motherboard tray. 24-pin, it's embedded in the motherboard tray. They have an 8-pin PCI Express down here embedded in the motherboard tray. And what they do is they actually give you extension cables. So once you slot in your motherboard, you just use the extension cable. You don't have to route the cables yourself, which is really cool. So they have
a nice feature.
Yeah, so they have all that there. Of course, this is the pump block for the Atmos. Ryan's probably familiar with what that looks like. And they have the same thing on the back there.
What did you think of that? Did you like using that like template?
They didn't provide a
thing, slider, like a thing to spread it, really?
They didn't provide it didn't come with a spreader. At least mine didn't. Another change that they made is usually this thing that Ryan hates is the power supply window here. And a lot of cases have a little tab or a little cover like this. And usually when you remove it, you get to see the side of your power supply, but they've actually put all of your mounting hardware right in there. Very easy to access. Or like if something happens and you're somewhere and I have all my stuff right there. So a nice little addition there. Just like the original case, you have a little fan and ARGB controller on the back. All of the fans, so there's the three fans in the front. There's another 120 millimeter fan on the back. All of those are ARGB. All the fans and all the ARGB for those are ran to the controller already. So that is one of the biggest things that's a pain in the ass with a lot of RGB fans is daisy chaining all the connectors. How do I connect everything? And then just like with fans in general, like I have to run them to this. I got a daisy. Like it's all done for you. You don't have to do anything. Nice. Which is really, really nice. And then, of course, here's the power supply at the bottom, 80 plus gold. It's their GX2 850 watt power supply. It's right on the bottom. Again, pre-installed. The cabling that we talked about that has the connectors, like you can see how it's all pre-run for you. I really would have liked to see the Velcro straps back here, though. It just would have made things a lot cleaner, in my opinion. There it wasn't there. Now installation, super easy. Now because we have an AIO, we have to prep our motherboard for the AIO. Mm-hmm. So installing the backplate, installing the standoffs, and then put your motherboard in. And then here are those extension cables. So they're all individually sleeved extension cables. You can see the 24 pin there. That's all you have to do is boop,
nice,
put in there. You're good to go. And this is the process that Ryan was talking about. So with Cooler Master AIOs in general, this is how they do their thermal paste. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, it makes it a lot easier for somebody who's never done it, I would say.
As long as they include the spreader. Yeah.
Mine didn't come with a spreader. But just maybe use your finger. I have a spreader. Like,
oh, okay, yeah.
I have this massive container.
A tub of...
that came with a spreader. So I had a spreader. So yeah, you spread it just like that, and then you pull it off, and you get something that looks a little bit like that.
Yep.
Which I think is great for a beginner. So you have to put the two brackets on the side, depending if you're doing AMD or Intel, and then you just put it on there. Put it on your CPU, and you're good to go. The only other thing you have to run is the cable to your CPU fan header on your motherboard, and then the ARGB connection, which you can daisy chain into one of the fans that are connected to the, or one of the ARGB connections that are connected to the controller. So very easy to do. Hard drive, you just put some pegs on the back.
I love that method of installing those pegs.
Yeah, you put the pegs in there, and then you put these little rubber inserts and put it in there. It's in, no problem. Graphics card, same, slotted in. They provide the 12VH PWR power cable. Boom, it's in there, no problem. So that's what the back of the case looks like. That's why I said I think the original case didn't come with the Velcro straps either, so let's just put that out there.
Sure.
But I would have liked to have seen the Velcro straps. Most of your cables are use these like wire connectors. I, of course, undid a lot of the ones, and they do include zip ties, and there are plenty of tie down points, but I would have liked the Velcro straps, which just made it look cleaner overall for the end user, you know. But very clean build. You come out with a very clean looking build, right? Super clean, you know, and then with your RGB lighting, that again, it's all done for you out of the box. And they're on the top of the case, there's a lighting button. So you don't even have to connect the RGB lighting to your motherboard if you don't want to. You can pass it through if you do want to. So that's what the system looks like. Very clean, great RGB lighting, especially in the front.
I love this cooler. Like, it just looks so good.
Yeah, it looks great. And again, you have the rear RGB fan as well with the cooler. And if you have RGB memory like I do, you have a really nice looking clean build overall. Very easy. And then we put in our temperatures. Obviously this is going to be system CPU, GPU dependent really. But out of the box, you don't need to buy anything else. You have a rear fan, you have your intake fans. You do have room at the top of the case to put more fans if you really wanted to, but it's not necessary. I mean, you're good to go. That's what I really like about the system. So the system is going to be the case is going to be $399. And I did price out, so if you bought a TD500 mesh V2, it's $99. If you bought the 850 watt power supply, it's $143. This is our current Amazon prices as of yesterday. And if you bought the standard ML360 Atmos, which is $159.99, that brings the total to $401.99, which is more expensive. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember, I didn't mention about the AIO either. The radiator is thicker too. So the default radiator is about 27 millimeters thick, or 27.5, I forget what it was. But this one is 38 millimeters thick as well. So you can't even buy technically you can't buy the AIO that comes with this. So you get a much better value for your money.
And it's all put together for you, right?
Yeah. Like, and it's
already there.
And I talk about this in the video. I say that for a first time builder, like building a PC can be like a very daunting thing. It's not necessarily the easiest thing. And that's why a lot of people do go the pre-built route. They don't want to have to do that, or they're afraid of breaking something, which is a very normal thing to worry about. You know, you buy this really expensive processor. I've broken processors. I mean, you know, and I'm a seasoned builder, I guess, you know? So this is a great in-between. It allows you to kind of do a little bit of DIY, but a lot of the stuff's already done for you. And I really like that. And I really, again, Cooler Master has done this with two other cases, even though like they're smaller form factor, but it's the same kind of concept. And I really like it for first time builders. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. Really would have liked those Velcro straps. And they, for the power connector, on the graphics card. The 12VH PWR is only 450 watts. And the there's only a single 8-pin PCI Express. So if you're running like a non 40 series card, you could have, you might not be able to put in what you wanted to put in there. So that's, those are the only two things. But overall, I really like what they're doing here, again, especially for first time builders. So check out the review. Really cool. And like I said, check out the video as well. It is on our YouTube page. So
sweet.
Yeah. So really cool stuff. And like, yeah, Oldman said the TD Mesh V2, which is just the case without anything else, is $99 on Amazon, which is it's a really good case as well. But again, it doesn't come with any of the other stuff that you're getting with this. So yeah, we move on from there to Case Mod Friday, and we have a Fractal Design North build. Another one of these really sleek, kind of sleeper builds until you open it up.
Yeah.
So this one is from Tim Pele, who we haven't featured in a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute. We haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah, we haven't featured him in a while. So he's done this really cool case, and the reason I like this one is because we have seen over the past couple years EK come out with the wooden blocks and the wooden fittings, and this really kind of accentuates that, because the Fractal North has the wood front panel, and now with this internally, he has the EK wooden block and the wooden fittings, which I think go together really well with all of this inside. So yeah, just really, really clean, simple design here. Nothing crazy flashy about this either. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very simple build with a Noctua fans, which I love, and they're the ones that had that he put the custom what do they call that? It's not Chromax. Is it Chromax? Yeah, it's just Chromax. Where you put the
color.
The color and pieces on there. So just a really simple, clean build inside the Fractal North. And I really like it. And it's really cool to finally see somebody use some of these wooden EK parts, you know, in the actual build. So definitely.
Do you like it?
Yeah,
definitely. Keep an eye on him. More. We used to, like, a couple of years. It feels like we haven't looked at any builds from him for like.
He has some. I went to his page the other day, and he has some stuff going on. So there's so many good builds going on. It's so hard to, like, we won't feature somebody for like a couple months, and they have like four builds done, and it's like, oh, I can't do them all back to back, you know. And then something else pops up, and you're like, oh, I want to feature that one. So yeah, like I said, there's a ton of great builders out there. He's one of those. So definitely, we have his. Facebook linked, or I have his Instagram linked too, but he has his Facebook as well. You can go ahead and check all his stuff out. We'll move on from there to news, and we'll try to get through this quickly because we've got some really cool products we definitely want to tell you guys about. So first thing, RTX 4060 now down to $279.
That's wild.
So $279. It is the cheapest ADA based NVIDIA graphics card. Actually, we reviewed this exact card. So the Zotac Twin Edge OC gaming card, the RTX 4060, now down to $279. This card initially was $329 when we reviewed it when it first came out. Okay. Now it's down to $279. The official MSRP of the 4060 is $299. So $20 below MSRP, the lowest it's ever been. We have links if you want to pick it up. It is a solid 4062, and the white is great. And it does have some lighting on the side of the card, too.
That's a good looking card.
You don't typically get with some of the lower cards. So really cool to see that price drop. As we've been saying in the past couple episodes, like with graphics cards, until the end of the year, we're going to have a lot of competition when it comes to price. And this is just another one of those things that we're going to see. So really cool to see that. Also talking about graphics cards, AMD has updated their drivers for the RX 7900 GRE, fully unlocking memory overclocking. So when this initially came out, it was one of the big things that people complained about was the overclocking in general. So they've updated the drivers, enabled it, and they're getting a lot better performance, which is definitely good to see. I just got one of these in too. I'm really excited to try one of these.
One of the GRE cards?
Yes. I haven't even opened the box. I don't even know which one it is. So I just got one of these in. So we'll have that up here in a few weeks. So that's pretty cool to see. Definitely good to see. It's kind of funny. If you think about like 3 or 4 years ago, AMD updating their drivers.
Right. You know? It's a big, yeah.
But now it's, they get the feedback.
They've improved a lot.
Yeah. And now we're instantly getting the updates, which is really nice to see. Also talking about AMD, if you're suggesting a Ryzen system to somebody,
okay,
even now, are you somebody who's like, just get like a 5000 series processor? Like they're good.
Depending on what they really want to do. Yeah. Absolutely.
I still always like Ryzen 5000 series. Well, it appears as if AMD is going to refresh that line, even though we have the Ryzen 7000 series. So it looks like they're going to do the XT thing again. Ryzen 5000 XT series, just getting faster clocks. It's a simple refresh with faster clocks, maybe make them more competitive in certain price points against certain Intel processors. Cool. And again, for people who don't want to make the jump to the 7000 series, because then you have to buy more expensive DDR5 and things like that. That's why I do suggest the 5000 series to a lot of people. And getting a refresh this late in the game, I mean,
yeah.
I think it's because I think they see the sales still of the 5000s, and it's still selling probably quite well. And they're like, okay, well, we'll do a refresh, and get some better clocks and make them a little bit more competitive as well. So,
I'm all for that.
Yeah, that will be coming out soon. So good to see that.
As long as there's like still, motherboard manufacturers and everything are still making boards for it, and you don't have to like hunt for the board you want.
Yeah.
Or end up paying more for it because, they're not as available.
That's what I think. I think we're like to the point where it's like a lot of series of products like are coexisting at the same time. And we even saw that with graphics cards for a while. Cards are staying in the market for longer. Now motherboards are staying in the market for longer, especially when like Ryzen 7000, because like DDR5 was so expensive the time. And even though things have cooled off, it's still like some people just, they might have some older DDR4 that they don't want to, it's like I said, it's nice to see lifespans at least get a little bit longer. We can make things last a little bit longer, so definitely good to see that. Now moving on to thing that we seem to talk about every week, that Ryan and I always say that we don't necessarily have a use for because we're not really gaming on a mobile device. It looks like Microsoft is secretly working, and we've talked about this before, on Xbox handheld prototypes. I'm all for it. The thing that'd be interesting is that you would think these would be Windows based, right?
Yeah, you would think.
No? Isn't like the Xbox Windows based anyways? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it only makes sense. I think we've seen the explosion of mobile gaming products. The next like three stories we're talking about are mobile gaming products. And there's definitely a market for these, and I think they're great. I think they're awesome.
It's interesting because we just had a story a while back about Microsoft like getting out of the hardware game with regards to Xbox. Wasn't that what our story
was? Maybe this is the next thing where like your Xbox is like a Switch where you can take it home and you put it in the dock and you can play on your
But the power that a traditional Xbox user is used to, like, isn't going to be there in a handheld yet. So,
here's the thing too: is if you think like we have these really great technologies, we have DLSS3, right?
True.
Where you could technically upscale to, who knows? This is just speculations, but I'm all for more gaming handhelds because, as we'll see in one of these next stories, competition means good pricing for the end user. So that's definitely something to look forward to. So talking about that, a new gaming handheld came out, the Orange Pi Neo. uses the exact same processor as the ROG Ally, the Z1 Extreme, exact same Ryzen processor, $200 cheaper.
Hmm.
So it's a pretty big story. You know, pretty interesting handheld, very much same specs. $499.
Sweet. I mean, these are all great options for people, right?
Like
you said, we're just not the target audience, but we still want to talk about it.
But like,
if I was that in that market, like, this is great.
Oh, I didn't even see in the chat. The people are asking questions in the chat.
Yeah, someone had popped a question in there when we were talking about
the processors. So the question is, if I have a 5950X, that's what I'm running. So shout out to you for having that. Do you think it'd be worth the upgrade to this refresh? So the answer is no.
Exactly what we're getting anyway.
We don't know what processors are going to be refreshed. And the thing about processor refreshes is they're not typically done to get you. If you're already on that generation, they're not for you. They're just going to be 1 to 200 megahertz bump in performance and a little bit better efficiency typically. So that's probably what you'll see there. So no, I think if you're on a 5950X and you want, you know, you should wait till, what would it be? Ryzen 9000 series. 9000. Yeah. That would be the next one. I think that's what you would be waiting for, and you would expect when we get something like Ryzen 9000 series, we would have other motherboard features, you know, different connectivity options, Wi-Fi 7, USB 4, like those are the other things that you would want for that. So no, I don't think that would be worth the upgrade, because you're only gonna get 1 to 200. It's not even worth it. Yeah.
Yep.
And no worries about sending the two messages. It's all right. I the second message I saw it, so maybe it's good you sent the two messages. But back to the mobile things. Yeah, we've talked about this too. With all these companies coming out with these, competition, price. Yep. You know, we've already seen the ROG Ally go on sale for like a very new product. Doesn't happen that often. So there's a lot of competition. I mean, obviously the big ones here in the United States, ROG Ally, still Steam Deck, Lenovo Go, and the MSI Claw are the big ones. But all these other companies we see coming out with them, it's just all
good. Well, then they start competing on other things like battery life and, you know, just little tweaks here and there that can really, you know, determine which one you end up buying.
Yeah. And with all of these gaming handhelds come out, some are run on Windows, some are run on other things like SteamOS is its own Linux-based OS. There's a new player in this sort of game launcher OS thing. So this company called Playtron, it's a Linux-based launcher. So it's a Linux OS, Linux lightweight OS to run on all these gaming handhelds. And what's really interesting about this company, it's a team of 18 people. And they've raised $10 million.
Oh, wow.
And what's interesting about their launcher is that it's going to work with Steam, it's going to work in Windows, and it's going to work on, so they're going to have their own OS. So this launcher will work on all three platforms. So they have their own like dedicated OS platform. It's going to work on Windows and it's going to work on Steam OS. So like this launcher will work on Steam OS too. So if you have a Steam Deck, this will work too. And it looks,
that's cool.
I mean, it looks pretty, this is running on Steam Deck. You know, a lightweight, you know, and this is, it would be kind of cool to see a, I know it's hard to do with different companies, but like a universal kind of launcher type thing for all of these to make it really easy.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty cool story about this company. Again, 18 people team making this, and they, like I said, they raised $10 million. So, pretty cool to see. So we'll see how that kind of shakes out, and maybe the next gaming handheld that we talk about might be running this or something like that. Pretty cool to see that there as well. We saw these at CES. Ryan and I saw these at CES. It was really cool to see. Ugreen. So everybody knows Ugreen for like portable chargers and like cables.
They batteries make some, and yeah.
And
yeah.
They're very affordable, but they're, at least in my experience with Ugreen products, they're good. Like they're not like these, because like you know, you buy those charging cables for your phone and you buy it off Amazon. Cool, but then, it's the cheapest one. And like, it's a month, and it's dead. I haven't had that experience. Like with Ugreen products that I have had, they've lasted and everything like that. So they are coming into the network attached storage space. So first network attached storage solutions, we saw these at CES. They looked really good. Some of them are pretty cool. This smaller one is all NVMe storage, which is really cool.
Yeah, we did a short video on that one.
Yeah, so definitely, like, I mean, if you think about network attached storage, there's like Synology, there's
QNAP,
Asus Store. Yeah, there are. I mean, there is some. There's definitely some competition in the space, but if they could do this affordably, and they have a whole line. I mean, this line of product. I mean, there's a lot. You know, going from like the DXP480T, which is the NVMe one. You have 2 bay, 4 bay, another 4 bay. What is this? A 6 bay, six bay, and then an 8 bay. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. We're gonna try to get some of these into review to take a look at to see if they're any good. But pretty cool to see somebody new come into the space. And kind of see how if they shake it up, or if this is just the first. It is kind of
In addition to like the hardware, it's the software that runs on it, right? That interface, because like Synology's OS is really nice and easy to use. Same thing with Asus Store, right? Like, so what are they gonna do for their software suite, and how you know, intuitive and easy is it to use as well?
Yeah. Also, I didn't see in the chat. My buddy Corey is in here. Good to see you, man. Hopefully everything is good back in Pittsburgh. The last thing, new benchmark built into 3D Mark called Pro Scion. Is that how you say it? This is an AI image generation benchmark. It's based on Stable Diffusion. So as we talk about graphics cards going forward, people who want to mess around with their own AI models and just messing around with it, you need a graphics card most of the time that has at least 16 gigabytes of VRAM. And a lot of people want to know, like, how good is this card going to be for my AI type of stuff, right? So now we have like an official benchmark. So now we'll probably add this into our benchmarking for graphics cards. But yeah, it just allows to test AI modeling, you know, and it will give you a score, and then you can see which graphics cards do better on this. So then if AI is something, if you're buying a graphics card, obviously probably your number one thing is gaming, but maybe AI is the next, you know, you want to kind of see what it can do. Now we'll have a benchmark. And I believe if you have 3D Mark Professional, you should be able to get this for free with it. But yeah, pretty cool to see that there as well. So we'll probably add that to our benchmarking software suite. And then coming up next week, I forgot that the TD 500 Max was launching this week, because that's how things have been lately. So I'll be taking a look at SpotCam Solo Pro. We talked about it last week. Wireless cameras, which are pretty cool because they're wireless, because it makes you more or less means you can put them pretty much anywhere you want. So I'll be taking a look at that. And then I'm going to be doing a complete build where we will have a video on YouTube and all of that for a MSI Project Zero. So that's the motherboard that has the connections on the back. MSI sent us a bunch of stuff, motherboard, graphics card, case, like we have everything.
There's a lot. You showed me that picture.
Yeah, so we have a lot of stuff. Really cool case too. And we'll have that build for you guys next week. And I think it's going to be kind of cool to see, because yeah, we've seen the connections on the back of the board, but I've never done a build where the connections are on the back of the board. And my biggest thing is like, even now with the connections on the front of the board, like, you know, when you're connecting your front panel connectors and you got to see like, okay, is this the one, is this for, you know, the power button? Like where is it going to be even harder to see from behind the case
on the back? Maybe.
Yeah. That's what I'm
like, if they're, what I've liked is like, I know Asus does it at least, is they have the little keyed piece that comes out and you can kind of do it up here, get them all on. And then that thing just slots on.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm really excited. I'll be doing the build either tomorrow or the next day. So really excited for that as well. So that is what's coming next week. At the end here, we, of course, talk about any tech-related stuff. If you're doing anything tech-related, Anything, any movies, anything you want to talk about?
No, not really. I mean, I for the first time used my Hollyland mics, and I had both of them going for a video. So I was kind of like doing an interview type style video. And so I was excited to finally use two of them instead of just the one all the time.
Yeah.
Watched the new X-Men 97 on Disney Plus, the new animated series. You didn't watch X-Men animated series as a kid, like on Fox?
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Like they have a new one out, so it's it's been really good. Getting good reviews. So,
I haven't really. I watched the new Roadhouse movie with Conor McGregor.
Oh yeah.
The thing I don't, and maybe this is like me just being old. The movie was like, I mean, you kind of expect it to be kind of not great, but there's like these super unrealistic CGI parts of like the fighting that's like you can tell it's CG. It's like super unrealistic, right? And it's only in certain parts. So they like selected certain parts of the movie. It just didn't like, it doesn't translate well to like, okay, this is real. Like this is like, it makes like the person look like a super, like, you know what I mean? It doesn't make them look like a real human. I don't know. Gotcha. That's only, I didn't like about that, but I wouldn't, if there's a lot of other movies you can watch besides that one.
Yeah.
But it was a decent movie. I mean, you know, for what it was. But that will bring us to the question of the week. So we've been doing question of the week every week. We have a question to do with tech or whatever. And the question this week is, what tech and specifically hardware are you most excited for this year? Hmm. Has to be hardware. It can't be like.
I don't know. Like to launch or that I think I'm going to get.
Either one. What are you excited about? Are you excited about anything?
Right now, I'm not really excited about a whole lot because we're kind of in this spot of we're just waiting, right? We're going to watch prices come down. I'm still in the like semi market for a new graphics card, so I'm excited to see what comes out next.
And you're going to be waiting.
I know.
Yeah.
I've waited long and
I've
waited this long. I can wait longer. Yeah, that's probably my next one.
Okay. This
is what I'm most excited about, I guess.
I think, I mean, there are a couple of things. I think one of the big ones for me is like, as much as I don't want to be into it, I think with Apple coming out with the, whatever, the Vision Pro.
Vision Pro.
The progression of that should get better.
Yeah.
And the size and things like that, I think.
Weight and battery life.
And again, them coming into the market makes more competition for the other brands. So I really like that. I think that's one of the big things. And I just think that useful AI in products is going to get better. It's kind of a gimmick right now for a lot of things. It's kind of like, oh, you can ask this to do this, but like, how is that useful? I think we'll see it get more useful over time. So I think that's kind of, but like, as far as hardware, just like you said, like as specifically PC hardware, I mean, we are kind of in that like little lull moment, right?
Right.
We're not going to see a big launch for a little bit. We're not going to really see anything pertaining to those launches, at least not till Computex, right? So yeah.
So we got a little while.
So yeah, so we have a little while. So we're kind of in that lull spot. There's not a ton going on. Yeah, I think that's about it. I mean, I have so much stuff into review, you guys. We have so much stuff going on, which I'm really excited for. And just having a lot of fun.
Give me an updated picture of your pile.
It's bigger.
Changed it up.
It's a lot bigger. There's a pile of stuff here. So we have a lot of stuff going on. So really excited for that. But of course, it is Wednesday, which means we're going to be gaming. Mm. We're not playing Apex this week.
Mm.
We're spreading democracy. Spreading some democracy with Helldivers. So we're going to be jumping on Helldivers. Both Ryan and I picked it up, and we'll be playing some of that. So also in the chat, Old Man said, new storage technology would be interesting. There's new optical media with huge amounts of storage, but we may never see it. Yeah, I think when it comes to storage, I think the big thing is like we see all this cool stuff, but it's like when's the retail, like the product that I can buy, right, as a consumer? Yeah, it
goes enterprise first.
Yeah, so I think that's the big thing. But I do think this year you'll see more availability of higher capacity SSDs, which is obviously a good thing. But yeah,
if they come down in price, that'd be great.
Yeah, that too. They will. I mean,
the higher capacity.
Anyways. Yeah, that's the cycle. It will eventually, you know, the high capacity is going to be super expensive. By next, you know, this time next year, it'll be half the price or whatever it may be. So that is it for the podcast, guys. I appreciate everybody for coming out. It's, of course, everybody in the live chats. Again, if you do want to watch our gaming stream, we do that over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan's going to go ahead and have that stream up, and we will see everybody next week.